Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Tzadi Beit. And here we are in the middle of our discussions about Chiyat HaMetim Min HaTorah. So, as we pointed out yesterday, the proofs of Chiyat HaMetim Min HaTorah are much more than particular proofs, because none of them are actually all that persuasive, as the Gemara almost semi-jocularly points out here. But the idea is that the overwhelming assumption of every word that's written, that no matter how difficult and much effort you put in to get rid of any kind of reference to Chiyat HaMetim Min HaTorah as taken for granted, you'll never be able to get rid of all of them, as the Gemara points out. And that means that what you have here is far more than just a raya that Chiyat HaMetim Min HaTorah. It just is taken for granted as a fundamental way of looking at life and death and din and onesh and reward. And therefore, the Gemara continues on with all of these fascinating kind of sweet remuzim all over the place, including the way to look at it, just in a very simple and innocent way. So we were holding yesterday on the, I think we didn't manage to get to the end, it was getting pretty late, of the daf, so we're still holding on Amud Beis, and we had gotten up to what was the beginning of something of a new sugya that we're going to see relates directly to the idea, because it ultimately evolves to a discussion of those who are learning or teaching Be'olam Hazeh, and what it is that they're supposed to say in Olam Haba. So because of that, it came here along with all of the other sugyas. So this, we were up to three lines up from the bottom. Omer of Yudah Marav, kol hamoneya halacha mipi tamid, ki ilu gozilo minachalat avotav. Someone who doesn't give the information that his student needs, it's as if he's stealing from him what it was that was his yet from an inheritance from his forefathers. Shenemar Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha kilat Yaakov. It's a morasha l'chol Yisrael misheshet yimei bereshit. This is not just from the time of Kabbalah Satera. This was part of the envisionment of what basically creation was meant for. And therefore, for you to take it away from him is the most horrific type of stealing. And if it was in your power to enlighten someone and you refuse to enlighten him, then you are a gozel, his most precious actual inheritance. Omer Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Omer Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Kol Amonei Halacha Bipi Talmid, Afilu Ubarim Shebimei Imal Mekalamin Oto. Somebody who tries to keep the information for himself, and he wants to be the guy that everybody's going to be coming to, instead of giving out everything that he knows to his students, even the fetuses that are still in their mother's wombs curse him. Shenemar Monea Bar Yikbu'uhu lo'om. Fascinating pasuk. Not very clear what it would possibly mean. Moneu, I mean, it's like somebody who keeps the bar. The bar is the idea of the tvua. And yikbu'uhu can mean to make holes in him or to curse him. Lo'om would mean nationalities. I mean, what in the world? So therefore, the Gemara darshins this to mean that actually it's a reference to the bar of Torah. So the bar, which is the tvua that you need to be able to give you all of the information that's necessary, the la'om will curse him. La'om means ubarim. Shenamar la'om mi la'om yamatz. We find that in the time that Yaakov and Esav were fighting in the Beten, it's called the la'om. And that is the, yes, ultimately means, of course, nationalities, but these are the fetuses, the very, very beginnings of those nationalities. And kavo we find to mean klala. Shenemar ma ekov lo kabo el. How can I curse what God has not cursed? And bar, we know, means Torah. Shenemar nashku var pen ye'enaf. It's itself, of course, is a pasuk that is very, very difficult to read completely clear, because what it seems to be saying, on the surface, Nashku Bar, seems to be kiss purity, right? So Nashku Bar, pen Maybe, because if you don't, so then you could end up being very the object of great wrath, penya enough. But we are darshaning it as nashku in the sense of neshek. So get yourself armed with bar. And that bar means you got to have what it is that your weapons are. You got to need, you know, that you've got ammunition. And that ammunition is the only real ammunition is the Yedias HaTorah. So get plenty of it, because otherwise HaKadosh Baruch Hu may get very angry. So here it means, make sure that you don't end up losing that bar by trying to keep it for yourself. Ula bar Yishmael Omer, actually, kavo can mean to make holes in you. So it means, somebody who tries to keep the information for himself ends up getting full of holes, meaning that we use that actually even in English, that when you had a full picture of something and now you start losing memory of this and of that, so we say, his memory is full of holes. You don't, no longer remember what you've learned. K'tivacha yikbu la'om u'k'tivatam v'yikov chor b'dalto. So yikov is meant to make a hole in. V'yomer Abaye, ki uchla dekatzre. Since divrei tera compared to mayim, he would be, the best way to put it is not like a kivara, like a sieve, but rather like that little sprinkler thing that they use before you iron. That's also, it's a sprinkler. It's a sprinkler of water and starch. Ve'im limdo maschero. If somebody does teach everything to his talmidim, what is his char? Omar Rava, Omar Rav Sheshe, Zochel Evrachot ki Yosef. Read the rest of that pasuk. Yigbo la'om uvracha l'rosh mashbir. Now, of course, bar is exactly what it was that Yosef had provided for all of the world. But he is the Mashbir, as it's called. So the bracha l'rosh mashbir, he gets the same kind of brachas that Yosef HaTzadik was given, who provided everything, the Nohei Katzon Yosef. Ein mashbir al Yosef, shenem av Yosef, hu ha-shalit al ha-aretz, hu ha-mashbir l'kol ha-aretz. Amar Rav Sheshes, kol ha-melamed, and here's the reason that we brought this here. It's because kol ha-melamed Torah b'olam hazeh, zocheh u-melamta lo-olam haba, shenemar u-marveh, Gamhu Yore. Do it. One way of reading this is that the person who provides drink of Torah for others, he will also be filled and be satiated with that drink. Or it could also mean the one who is more, he would be, will be more, meaning it all about. Getting back to the rayas of Tchias HaMeisim, all of the different places where it's so clear that this is an assumption. Shenemar yechi Reuven va'al yamot. I mean, normally, if people are alive, they're not dead. What is the point of saying yechi Reuven va'al yamot? It means yechi Reuven b'olam hazeh va'al yamot l'olam haba. We should note that Reuven did not lose his chelek in olam haba, is what Yaakov was saying. Revino amar me'olcha. Rabim yishnei admat afar yakitzu, eile lechaye olam, ve'eile lecharafot bederaon olam. It says it pretty clearly, because it says beferish, that is what the vision that was given to Daniel, is that many who are sleeping in the dust, referring to those who have already died, yakitzu, they will wake up, and then will be determined what their ultimate fate is, some for life forever, and others for lasting shame. Ravashi Omer, I'll give you another pasuk. That was the same basic vision that was given to Daniel, at the end of which he was told, V'ata lech lakitz, v'tanua, v'tamod l'gorol chalakitz hayamin. So you, this is addressed directly to Daniel, you are getting to the end of your life, and you will rest, meaning you will rest in your grave, but you will, tamod l'gorol chal, you are going to wake up to your destiny at the end of time, or at the end of Yemina Yishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was a tremendous machlokas, how to read this, whether it's Leketz HaYamin or Leketz HaYamim. And Leketz HaYamin is just a way in which we switch Nun to Mem, which is the way Rashi actually understood it there, but not here. Here he takes the Yamin idea. That's because Heshiv Yamino Achor, Kadosh Baruch Hu Ki'ilu, from the time of the Churban, he put his right hand behind his back, so he always fights with one hand behind his back, you know. So it's a nice metaphor for the half-baked measures that have been taking place up until recently. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Kol Parnas Shemanigat Atzibur Benachat, Zocher Manigam Leolam Haba, Shinemar Ki Merachamam Yenahagem, Ve'am Abue Mayim Yenahalim. So if somebody has tenderness, how it is that he treats his tzibur, in the end he will be zecher in Olam Haba to also be manhig the same tzibur. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, another thing Rabbi Elazar said, that gedolat de'yash nita bin shtei otiyot, the concept of da'at is tremendous, because if you take a look in the pasuk, you find the Shem Hashem surrounding that word da'at. Ki el te'ot Hashem. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, gadol migdash, so too the Beis HaMikdash is between the Pa'alta Hashem, Migdash Hashem. Konenu Yadecha, so you have Hashem Hashem with the word Migdash in the middle. Matkif L'Ravada Karchina, if you're going to say that, you could even say that Nikama is a great thing, because it also appears before two Shemos. El Nikamot Adonai, El Nikamot Ophia. So we have Kel Hashem with Nikamot in the middle. Is that true? Well, of course it's true. The Milte Hachinani. When Nikama is the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, to be able to give Sachar just like he does Onashim, it's an incredible thing, because ultimately that's what Nikama is. It's setting the world straight. It's not vengeance to get your anger out. It's to reset reality. And that is an amazing thing. And that's like Ula pointed out, that why do we find this bakosh of two ways, kel nekamot Hashem, kel nekamot, double lashon, and then ofia, which is requesting two different hofaot from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Achat is lemidat tova, v'achat lemidat puranut, because it means the ultimate idea of nekama is both for tova and for puranut, and it doesn't mean what people think it means. It means a cosmic balance is nekama. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam sheyesh po de'ah, if you put together these two inyanim, that the godol, the das, and the godol, the migdash, it tells you that a person who has de'ah, it's as if divna beit hamigdash biyomav, shezenitan ben shtei otiyot vezenitan ben shtei otiyot. Since da'at and migdash are put together, it's an indication that somebody who has da'at, a person like that is like a Beis HaMikdash in his days. And it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam sheyesh po de'ah l'sof mitasher, someone who has da'at in the end becomes rich. Of course, it doesn't say rich in what, but b'da'at chadarim yimal'u, kol hon yakar v'na'im. It's through da'at that the rooms are filled with all types of precious and wonderful things. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam she'ein bo de'ah, if a person does not have any da'as, asur l'rachem alav, you're not allowed to feel a sense of taking mercy on him. Let me help him out. He's such an idiot. If I don't do it for him, he's never going to be able to do it. And that's the wrong thing. And that simply encourages him to continue to act without concern for himself. Shenemar ki lo ambinotu. Since this is not a nation that seeks its own understanding, al kein lo yirachamenu oseyu v'yotziro lo yichunenu. So you see that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to have any kind of rachamim if you don't care enough to have da'at for yourself. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, kol anoten pitol mi she'en bodeya, somebody who supports a person who doesn't have any da'at, in the end, yisurin ba'in alav, he, the donor, is going to end up suffering because of it. Shenema lach macha yasimu mazor tachtecha. Ein tvuna bo. The bread that you're giving him is going to make your life mazor. Mazor means yisurin. Shenema vayar Ephraim et choyo v'yudat mizoro. We see the Lashon of Mazor is used as a synonym for illness. That means you will end up, you think you're being nice to a person who's going to take your money and is going to go buy cigarettes with it, or is going to go buy drugs with it, or is basically just going to continue destroying his life. You're not doing him any favors, it's supporting him. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam she'en bo de'ah, l'sof goleh, she'nemar l'chein gala amim ibli da'at. So the lack of da'at essentially moves you away from your proper place. Please mute. Trevor, could you press your mute? I don't know what's going on there. David Solomon, mute. What's going on with people? Thank you. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, kol b'yachin divrei Torah nishmoyim bo b'layla, ein shokhalato. The Iker time, as the Rambam explains to us, for divrei Torah in a home, is dafkor b'chlal. When should a person be learning most of his Torah? Should be at night. And in a home where there is no learning of Torah at night, it should be burned by a fire. Shenemar kol choshech tamun litzvunav, so all of the darkness is put away for this person who does not care about the Sarid. And the Sarid is a Talmud Chacham, and he doesn't have this Talmud Chacham Bo'ala at night. And then a person like that should be in a place of fire that doesn't require blowing. That's a fire that comes from Gehenna. Shenemar uvasaridimar. Asher Hashem Korei, Sarid is those who are the remnants of those few human beings that are called upon on their own to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to show up to Daf Yomi. And those are the Saridim. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, kol she'ino mehaneta minecha chachmim minechasav, someone who doesn't actually bring Tamid Chachomim into his home or share his property with them, or support them. A person like that is never going to see any kind of prosperity in his own business. There's no Talmud Chacham, that's the Sarid, in his own goods. Therefore, he's not going to end up becoming prosperous. These are all the Ma'amorim of Rabbi Elazar. The Omar Rabbi Elazar, kol she'inu mishayir pata shulchano, inu rehasim in brachu liyolam, shenema ein sarid la'ochlo, alken lo yachil tuvo. People who don't leave over some bread on the table after eating is never going to see a sign of bracha from it, because it says the same thing, ein sarid la'ochlo, here it means literally sarid, no leftovers from your food, then lo yachil tuvo. You will not have a prosperous home. Now, this is referring to the minhag at the time in which the poor people would knock on the door around mealtime. So you finish your meal. Now there's a knock on the door. I just put everything away. I don't have anything on the table. We finished. You should have come earlier. So the aniyim were supported from the actual food that people were eating. So by not having something ready on your table that makes it easy to just run and to give it to the ani at the door, that's a sign that the person is selfish and is not going to be blessed, therefore, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, it's important to leave something over on the table. What? But the same Rabbi Elazar said, kol ha'mishayer petitim al shulchano, a person who leaves these pieces of bread on his table, it's as if he's worshiping Avodah Zorah. Kilu ovid Avodah Zorah, shenemar ha'orchim la'gad shulchan, the people who set their table for the gods, v'hamimalim lamni mimisach. Ni was also the name of an Avodah Zorah that we find in Yeshayahu, as was God. And what the minhag was over there was to bring, this is still the minhag in places in the Orient, that they bring gifts of food and put it on the table. That's amazing. I mean, you take these trips to Cambodia, Thailand, so it's, you go to the small towns, and that's what everybody's doing. So how could Rabbi Elazar say that you're supposed to leave over these pieces on your table if it says that if you do put these pieces on your table, it looks like you're setting the table for the gods? Lokasha, hadi'ika shalema bahadeh. So where are we talking about? Rabbi Elazar is talking that it's usur. That's where you bring out a challah, a full challah, even though there are pieces that are left. So that's a sign that you want something that looks good for the gods, and that this is not meant to be cut up, because you already have cut up pieces. And what Rebbe Elazar was referring to is where you just have the pieces that are ready for the aniyim. There's tremendous differences in how to learn this. Some say that it means exactly the opposite than the pshat that I've just said. And it's a question of whether there was a shlema from the beginning of this. So there's many different approaches. And I suspect this is an issue that is so problematic that because of it, people have stopped doing this. I've never seen anybody being knowing this, despite the fact that it's paskin by the Shulchan Aruch, it's paskin by the Ramah. It remarkably is not even hinted at, not in the Rambam, not in the Rif, not in the Rush, and it's very strange that it isn't mentioned. Nonetheless, the Beis Yosef, who says, I don't know why it's not mentioned, but he himself paskins it. As I say, I don't know why it isn't Nohuk. So I suspect it's a combination of issues. First of all, because the Orchim Lagat Shulchan has opposite connotations according to different Peskim, as what is considered to be. Others, Bechlal, the Radvaz says, there ain't no gods anymore, nobody cares about this garbage, and therefore we're not even going to be considered the question of whether it might be looking like Orchim Lagat. So he says, Bechlal, doesn't really matter what shot you say, because it doesn't matter. After all, Time magazine said that God is dead. So if that's the case, why should we be worried about our Orchim Lagat Shulchan? And anyway, so I really think that probably it's a combination of the fact that it doesn't mean anything to us to put some stuff on the table, because that's not the way that tzedakah is given today. People don't knock on the door at the time of your seudah. Therefore, it's not really a sign that you're there in order to be giving things to the aniyim. So if anything, it's just a sign of bad things. You know, you want badafka for there to be food on the table. I also think that it's not the derech. They used to have tables where the table was specifically the mokum of achila. And we don't really use tables like that anymore. There's sort of general places where everybody does their homework in the house and when talks on the telephone or whatever it is. So the whole thing may not apply. If you talk about a Shabbos table, so there are people that actually have a minhag to leave the table set the whole Shabbos and to have challah that's there from the beginning all the way to the end in order to avoid the different shitas of the God business. V'yomer Rebbe Elazar, kol ha'machaliv b'diburo ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. So, person who, it depends what it means. Some say it means pashtus machalif b'diburo, is that you don't stick to what you say. Or it means that you lie and you say something that isn't. But Rashi says that it means that he bedavka makes it appear that he is someone else. So it's as if he is worshiping Rav Avodah Zarah, because we find that that's exactly what Yaakov Avinu said he's afraid of. So based on the context, Rashi's pshat certainly seems to be the approach. What Yaakov was asked to do by Rivka was that he was pretending to be someone that he wasn't. And it says, and we find that Avodah Zarah is called Ma'ase Ta'atu'im in Yirmiyo. So that means that Ta'atu'a is doing like these weird things, deceiving things. And that is Avodah Zarah and misrepresenting yourself. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Kol HaMistakel Be'erva, people who stare at Arayas, so they're into pornography, or some learn Dafka Eishes Ish, Kashto Nin Eret. He gets rid of his erections, which means he no longer has the power of a real erection and he's not able to be Melet. Shinema Eriya Teor Kashtecha. Eriya, nakedness, will empty your bow. And your bow is what shoots the chitzim, which is what we call sperm. Rioma Rabbi Elazar, La'olam Avi Kobel V'Kayam. Be dark, meaning stay out of the light, and that way live. The more attention you draw to yourself, the worse things will be for you. Omar Rabbi Zera Afanana Mitanina, it's a beferish a Mishnah Negoyin. Bayit afel, ain't potrino chalonot rot nigo. In a dark house where the Kohen can't see the Nega, so there's no inyan of the Re'iyas HaKohen, we don't turn on the lights by opening up a window to enable you to see a Nega. if it's a dark house, it deserves not to ever be noticed that anything's wrong with it. The same thing is true of people. The moment that you get out there, believe me, you're going to be found to be everything on the internet that they want to say about you. So you got to be nuts to get out there and to put yourself in a position where everybody's got something to say. So stay Cobell. If you stay Cobell, nobody notices you. And that's the best way for a long life. Shmami na, that indeed stay in the dark. Omer Rabbi Tavi, Omer Rabbi Yoshia, my dichtiv, very strange pasuk, which comes back to this amami. It's a very popular way. You'll notice that all of the discussions in this perek, which is so strange, right? This perek is like all of the fundamental types of inyanim that really the Gemara you would think would be there in order to clarify what do we mean when we use the words la'atid lavo, what do we mean when we say triyat ha'mitim, what do we mean when we say olam haba, what do we refer to when we say yimot ha'mashiach, what do we mean by the olam ha'neshamot, what do we mean when we say gan eden? Not a word. All you get is a mishmash of very kind of amami type of things in which it appears that the Gemara is literally playing around. Why doesn't the sun bow down in the middle of the sky? Come on, man. You know, and you have to really look into it to understand even what Ramazim might be. And indeed, as we saw yesterday, that's like these are fundamental questions of the human vision versus what is happening from the outside. But the whole idea of being involved in this life from the inside of the life is really, I think, part of the theme of the whole perek, that from the inside, you never know what's going on. So therefore, the idea is to make things extremely, extremely oversimplified. Let's talk about, in the most ridiculous ways, how it is that our minds sort of form patterns about things that are really profound and important issues from an objective point of view. And yet to us, we make these weird connections and we end up with these weird assumptions, which what we want to show is those things that have the basis of the Torah and those things that are maybe are there in order to make it more useful for us to survive from the inside of this ridiculous, unbelievably mad kind of universe. I mean, really, you have to be completely insane to decide that you're going to create a universe by throwing junk all over the place and watching what happens. I mean, this is like quite an amazing, amazing place, right? So it's everything that you wouldn't expect can't be true. So imagine if the Gemara actually tried to describe anything about the world as it really is. Don't they just throw out the shas? Anyway, so Lomaisa, what we have over here, are very curious kinds of juxtapositions, all of which point in the kind of directions that humans end up sensing, feeling, but can never properly articulate and clarify. So we find like these weird kind of things. Says Rav Tavi, Amar Rabbi Yoshia, can you explain to me what in the world Mishle Shlomo HaMelech is talking about when he says, you know, there's three things that are never satisfied. And what's that? The grave, the vagina, and the earth that never gets enough water. So what in the world? What do graves have to do with vaginas? Look, it's basically a message. How do vaginas work? Well, you know, you plant seeds in it and out pop babies. That's quite amazing. Well, the same thing is true about graves. Imagine if you plant seeds in a grave, which of course is a human being at the end of his life, it's going to pop out again in Trias HaMesim. And it's even a Kal Vachomer. Look, when you put those seeds into that vagina, nobody's around. It's usually in secret. You know, you're not making a production out of it. But when the baby pops out, oh my gosh, what a production. Cigars and pictures and telephone calls and noises and women dancing. My gosh. So imagine you stick that seed into the grave. Oy, the noises, the crying, the Zoom meetings for Hespedim. My God, what a fuss. Putting a seed into a grave. Imagine when the pop out comes. Imagine the amount of noise that'll be. So it's a Kal Vachomer. It's beautiful. Imagine the noise that's going to be at the celebration of the Shira at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Now, if that isn't a good answer to people who claim there's no Tchiyas HaMeisim in the Torah, I don't know what is. Mikan teshuvah la'omrim ein tchiyat ha'mitim in ha'Torah. You got to be crazy. The whole world works like that. It's nutty. Tanit ve'eliyo. Tzadikim she'atid ha'kadosh baruch hu la'achiyotan. Those who are zeche through tchiyas ha'meisim, enan chozrin la'afran. They're not going to die again. She'nemar v'ayah nish'ar b'tzion v'anotar b'yerushalayim. Kadoshi amar lo. Kol ha'katuv l'chayim b'yerushalayim. All of those who are in that book, which is the book that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps of the people who sit and learn Daf Yomi together and who sit and think about his Divrei Torah and care about his Divrei Torah. So we had in the Gemara that the Shechina is B'nei'im and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps a little book of the people that he loves and that care. That book is the book that's called HaKatuv L'Chayim B'Yerushalayim. That's the book of those who are meant to be alive when it's time for the Gula Shlema and Tchiyas HaMeisim. So Ma Kadosh, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayochel, is La'olam Kayam, anything that's called Kadosh, which are these people, Kadosh Yamelo, Afheim La'olam Kayamim, they will live forever. Not everybody holds this, by the way, and the Rambam says, Beferish, not like this. He paskins the other ways. We'll see that there's another way to learn the issue here in the Gemara. According to the Rambam, Tchiyas HaMeisim is always a reconstitution of life as life is lived, which includes death as part of life. V'im tomar, and if you'll ask me, says the Tanan Ve'eliyo, otam shanim she'atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chadesh b'hen et olamo. So what happens during that period when it says v'niskav Hashem levado b'yom ahu, that before the end of Olam Hazeh, there's 1,000 years, kavayochol, a yom, we're saying it's a kilo, 1,000 years. So there's a period in which everything is back to tohu vavohu. So where are these tzaddikim going to be? Tzaddikim ma'inosim, if I'm claiming that these people are not going to die, well, what's going to happen to them? Well, basically, we'll give them wings and let them fly around like eagles. And, you know, they can glide around over the water and everything will be happy. Shotin apnei ha'mayim shenema. Al-Kain, Loni Rabba, Amir Oretz, Uvamot Arim, Belevi Amim. Therefore, we will not fear when everything changes on the earth. And when the mountains collapse in the sea, I will not cry. No, absolutely not. Veshemet Omar, Yeshlehem Tsar. You think, you know, this is going to be a man, got to stay up there for 1,000 years. It's a long time to flap your wings, isn't it? No, Talmud Omar, V'kovei Hashem yachlifu koach. People who hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what we just talked about on Purim, they have this tikva, they never get tired, man. They're always renewed, exactly what we spoke about, right? It's all about chadash. So they're always renewed. Yalu ever kanasharim, they'll spread their wings like eagles. Yarutzu v'lo yigau, they'll just run forever and never get tired. Yarchu v'lo yiofu, never become weary from their walk. How can you say that? I mean, we know that we have an actual event, which is the story in Yechezkel, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Yechezkel out to that famous Bikah Dura, and he says, you know, HaTechyena HaTzamot Eila, and Yechezkel says, you know, you're the one who knows, what do I know? Anyway, in the end, he has this whole vision in which these bones suddenly reform and turn out to become full bodies, and they live. All of those guys died. They're not walking around. Never met any of those. Did anybody meet any of those guys? No. So it must be that after Tchiyas HaMeisim, you know, they just go back to the dust. So why can't we learn out from there? No, this kind of holds that there was never such a thing. That whole thing is a metaphor for Klal Yisrael. So here you say, you know, we are like dried bones. That's what it's a metaphor to people who believe that things are hopeless. And because of that, the Malach shows to Yechezkel, you think this is hopeless? Look, it can all live again. Yeah, but it doesn't mean, stop being so literal. It doesn't mean they're bones that get come together and become people. So therefore, we can't learn anything from that if it never happened. The Tanya, this is a machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Metim Shechayei Cheskel, Amdu Aragleim, Veomru Shira, Vametu. These Metim, basically, they were put together for one moment to say, to sing the song of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how incredible this is, and then they died. Ma Shira Amru, Hashem Memit B'Tzedek, as we'll see, these people, if this was a real story, they actually deserved not to be put back together again because of what they had done wrong, as we'll see. And so the song that they sang was, we're just assuming a song. I mean, there is no such pasuk. And Hashem puts together B'tzedek. He killed us B'tzedek, and to relive like this is pure rachamim. Rabbi Yeshua says they said the pasuk. Hashem may meet umechayeh moricha oveyal. What kind of beauty? Of course, that's what it must be, that when Chana sang that song, that was a song about Trias HaMeisim. And that's what they sang. God puts people to death and brings them back to life. Beferish. Moricha al puts into the grave, Vayal takes you out of the grave. It's another one of those psukim that takes for granted that there's Trias HaMeisim. We're going to bring every single pasuk. I mean, but if they were actually experiencing this, according to the Zman Yomar, so then that must be what they sang. Makes sense, no? Rabbi Yehuda says, hey, come on, guys. Emet mashallah ya. It's true. It's a metaphor. Omar lo Rabbi Nechemiah, you're really making a lot of sense. I mean, if it's true, how is it just a parable? You can't say those two words, you know? And if it's just this metaphor, why do you say it's true? Remember that the word emet, especially when it's used halacha, is a sign of, look, this is definitely the truth, remember? Emet. So, I mean, you can't use that word here. What you should have said is, be'emet mashal haya. If you want to know the absolute truth, and that is like the definitive psak, which, of course, we don't really consider something in Agadata to be a psak, at least according to some of the Rishonim speak out beferish, that the word be'emet does not mean lahalacha when it comes to Agadata. But that you could say that you're absolutely decisive that this is certainly not a story that really happened. Rabbi Eliezer ben Asher Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer. The Metim, Shechayah Yecheskel, you guys are all wrong. Those people actually ended up moving to Eretz Yisrael from Pekas Dura. Nasu Nashim, they got married, they had children, Olidu Banim Ubanot. And at that moment, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira stood up and he said, gentlemen, I am a descendant of those people. And I know this because I actually have the tefillin from one of them, who was my great-great-great-great-grandfather, left me his tefillin, and those are the tefillin that I use from the Meisim Shechayah Yecheskel. So don't try to tell me it's just a Baba Meisa. Anyway, so we now, assuming that these people actually existed, who were they? Ma ninu metim Shechayah Yecheskel. Omar Rav, these were the Bnei Ephraim. The Bnei Ephraim, they made a mistake when they decided that the 430 years of the Golos Mitzrayim, or of the Ger Yezaracha, started at that moment, which was the Bris Ben Aptarim. And because of that, they figured that it's time for the Yetzia, and therefore it's incumbent upon them to be Yotze from Mitzrayim. So they went and forced their way out of Mitzrayim. And after they got out of Mitzrayim, they were killed. So they were Mono Lekets V'Tohu. And we know that because it says in Divrei Hayomim, Uvnei Ephraim, Shutalach Uvered Beno, V'Tachat Beno, V'Elada Beno, V'Tachat Beno, V'Zavad Beno, V'Shutalach Beno, V'Elad I'm sorry, the Ezer ve'elad, the Haragum Anshei Gat HaNoladim Ba'aretz. So, the people of Gat at that time, they weren't supposed to be, as far as these people knew. Why are there Plishtim in Eretz Yisrael? And they thought they could simply leave Mitzrayim and go Derech Eretz Plishtim, which of course accounts for the specific sensitivity that we find later on where HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not take people Derech Eretz Plishtim, because believe me, the reports had gotten back, and they were killed by the Anshei Gat. And it says over there, Vayitabel Ephraim Avihem Yamim Rabim Vayavo Echav Lenachamo. So actually Ephraim was still alive at that time, and that means that it was still the Pashtus while everybody else was in Eretz Mitzrayim. And therefore, it's mashma that they had left Mitzrayim while everyone else was still in Eretz Mitzrayim. Shmuel Omar, Elu b'nei Adam shekafru b'tchiyat ha-meitim, shenemar v'yomer elai ben Adam, atzamot ha-ele ko beit Yisrael ema, hine omrim yavshu atzmotenu, avda tikvatenu, nigzarnu lanu. So the way that Shmuel understands what the story is about is that it's a message about Tchiyat HaMitim. So therefore the Navi is told, listen here, these people that you see here dead, scattered, their bodies scattered here in the Bika, those are people who believed that there would be no Tchiyat HaMitim. And now I'm going to show you that Badafka, we're going to put them together. Something wrong? Hello, hello, hello? No good? Can you hear me now? No? No. Hey, 1 minute. Testing.
Recording in progress.
How about now? No, still not. Okay. No.
Now you muted, baby.
Now I'm... Thank you. How about now?
Now.
There we go. Okay, so some trouble with the internet, I guess. Okay, so I don't know what happened. These are people, Elu b'nei Adam, that did not believe that they had any chance for being resurrected. And they said, look, once we're dead, no hope, it's all over. So that's these people, Eim Omorim, Yofshu Atzmotenu, Avda Tikvatenu, and they were the ones, B'davka, that were zocha to this mace as to be a simon for everyone else who was kofer from Trias HaMesim. So it's all about Perek Chelek, basically. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba Omar, these are people that believed that because they, in fact, did not deserve anything. They were people that said of themselves, correctly, that we are completely dried up. That means, ein b'em lachluchit shel mitzvah. They have nothing. They had no zechuyot. They were complete and total rishayim. Shenemar ha'atzamot ha'yeveshot, shimu dvar Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees that they are atzamot yeveshot, that there's nothing to their lives, and af al pi kein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everyone that zechus that we saw, that Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafchomer, these were like the worst people. These were the people that Yecheskel had been shown by the Malach, took him to Yerushalayim, in which he was brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and he saw that the entire Heichal was covered with graffiti of the most disgusting avodah zarahs and filthy things. So shkatzim v'rimasim chipu et haichal. They put graffiti over the entire haichal, and it says this: it says v'ovo ve'eh v'nei kol tavnit remes v'ema sheketz v'chol gilulei beis Yisrael mechukeh alakir saviv. So this was all around the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, all around. So this obviously was like a simon for the matzav of Klal Yisrael. This is what it is that people are doing. Uchtivatam, now note the lotion of Saviv. And over here, in the story of the Triyat HaMitim, it says, Ve'evirani alayem saviv saviv, that the Malach brought me, Yecheskel, around to see them from all of the different sides. So therefore, it's a remez that these were the absolute worst people. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Elo Meitim Shebibikat Dura. These were the terrible, massacred people that we're going to see later that had been murdered in Bikat Dura. And Bikat Dura was the place that Nebuchadnezzar had set up his Trump statue. So he had this immense golden statue that everybody was supposed to come down to and to bow down. And if they didn't, off with your head. Mi'omar Rabbi Yochanan. The truth is that from all the way from the Eshel, the river, all the way till Rabat, that is what's called Bikat Dura. And when we talk about the massacre in Bikat Dura, that was an incredible story. Yisrael, at the time that Klal Yisrael went into Golus, the people of Bnei Yisrael at that time were so incredibly beautiful. There were teenagers that were so gorgeous that they were literally, you couldn't see the sun for all of the beauty. And the women over there of the Bavliim, the Kastiot, were ro'ototan, v'shov'ot zavot. They were so turned on that these women were squirting all over the place. And this, by the way, is a fascinating idea. That shofot zavut, because the truth is, there's not much scientific data on all of this super duper women turn on that the Gemara talks about and that, pornography loves. But the idea of zavut, there is that, believe it or not, there is actually prostate fluid in women, which everybody thought was, women don't have prostates. So it's pretty funny to be able to have these PSA readings in women, right? But it turns out that prostate fluid is not only prostatic, and that breasts produce prostate fluid, that there's different organs that actually produce the same type of chemical. And this is why the zavut, so it turns out that ziva, which in a male is prostatic, is actually a chelek of zivus, which, Bepashtis, what does zivus have to do with zivus? Two completely different things. Male zivus is a prostate fluid, and female zivus is nothing but dam that is continuous shalom bismana. But they actually analyze this fluid, and it is prostatic. Isn't that crazy? So in any event, so these women were so turned on that they were mamish. They were going absolutely nuts. And so they told their husbands, we got to have these boys. We can't take it anymore. So the husbands ran to the king. We got to get rid of these people. So he had them all massacred, right? So the Baalim run to the Melech. So the Nebuchadnezzar, he commands that they should all be massacred. Fine. So he kills these thousands and thousands of beautiful Jewish kids. So even their dead bodies were enough to drive these women absolutely bananas. So they went and they said, look, this is not a solution to kill them. Tziva melech v'rom asum. So then the king gave the command to have the horses run over them and to smash them into pieces. You don't hear me, David Solomon?
No.
What?
The Rebbe came back. The Nebuchadnezzar killed them.
This is crazy. I don't know what's going on. Okay, I'm really sorry. Zoom is usually trustworthy, or my internet is usually trustworthy. I'm not sure where the problem is. Okay, we'll try to deal with it afterwards. In any event, the last thing I said was what? Tziva melech v'haragum? That they had them massacred? Yes, that was the last thing. Calling all cars.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes! And so it didn't help because even their dead bodies were beautiful enough to get these kastiot turned on. So they had to go ahead and smash the bodies by running horses over them. And only then could they have their wives back. All of that is what happened in Bikat Dura. Tuna Rabbanan. B'sha'a shi'pil Nebuchadnezzar ha'rasha. et Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, l'kivshan ha'esh. So at that time, that because they absolutely refused to do anything against the Torah, and they spoke back to the king, you know, you're only our king when you tell us to do things that are in your purview to tell us, but forget it. To us, you're nothing if you say to do something against the Torah. This got them very angry, and they decided they're going to throw them into the furnace. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yechezkel, at this very moment, I want you to be lech v'hachaye metim b'bikat dura. Go now to Bikat Dura at this moment. Let's teach Nebuchadnezzar a bit of a lesson over here. He's going to decide who lives, and he's going to decide who dies, yeah? I'm going to show him that the people that he thinks are dead are alive, and the people that he thinks that he can kill are going to survive whatever he does to them. So I want you to go out right now and be Mechaya those Beitim that he had massacred over there. So Kivon Shechayeota, when he was Mechaya those Beitim, Bo Atzamot v'tafchulo lo Torah shal panav. So the Atzamot, during this process, they would camp. Some say that it actually meant that he was mamish like the Nazis. So he took those bodies, he made lampshades out of their skin, and he made kalim out of their bones. And so when he was drinking and they came back to life, they smashed him in the face so that he would see what exactly was happening. And he said, what the heck? Mati van Shalelu, what's happening? So they said to him, well, we have information that Chavreim Shalelu Mechaye Meitim B'Bikat Dura, these guys' friends, Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, they've got a friend over there, Yechezkel, and he's going around and he's being Mechaye these Mezim. Potach v'Yomar, so we find that that's when Nebuchadnezzar started to sing Shira. And he said, Atoik amar avravin, vetim hoik amar takifin, bachute malchut alam, vishultaneim dor vador. See, he starts saying over, you know, the whole, it sounds like he's about to say over the whole Tehillim. And indeed, says Rabbi Yitzchak, you know, they should pour a hot molten metal. Of course, it would have to be gold for Nebuchadnezzar, but they should pour hot gold down his filthy mouth, because he wanted to outdo David HaMelech. If there hadn't been a Malach who came and slapped him over the mouth at that moment, he was going to outdo David HaMelech's Tehillim. They had to be shut up. And so that's why it's very strange, because you take a look in the Pasuk, it starts off with this, and then it moves on to something totally different without an indication that anything happened. So the only thing we have like that is basically the Esther Achashverosh moment, you know, in which it's the same thing. Anything else I can do for you after yelling that who knows what these Jews have done. So Tana Rabbanan, a lot of amazing miracles took place at that time that the attempt was to throw Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah into a Kivshan HaEsh. And here are six miracles. First of all, since everybody needed to get a ringside seat and to be able to watch how it was that the mace took place and that nothing happened to these guys and they walk around inside of the fire, so they had to, usually a Kivshan is buried in the ground and nobody would be able to see it. So the first thing is that Saf HaKivshan. So he had this furnace that rises up out of the ground to be able to give everybody a view. Furthermore, Nifratz HaKivshan, the wall of the Kivshan collapsed so that you could actually see into it from the audience. And Humak Sodo, the actual base or the foundation of this Kivshan, melted to show all of the seed that had initially been put into that Kivshan. The heat was so incredibly intense that to show everybody, this is not a cooled Kivshan with just a little bit of fire. This is a nuclear furnace, man. And so all of the plaster actually melts and runs onto the floor. And at that moment, the beautiful Nebuchadnezzar Trump statue turns upside down and falls on its face. And then there were these four Malchios. There were these four, we'll see what we'll be back in the Pasuk, there were these four representations of four different important countries, the leaders of those countries that Nebuchadnezzar had defeated, and he made them his couriers to show how great he is. The people that worked for him were once kings. Four of them, though, were the ones who were trying to put Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah into this Kivshan. They were burned from the heat around the Kivshan. And Hechia Yecheskel, at that very moment, the Meitim Bebikat Dura, all of these things we only really know from a Gemara, that is a Kabbalah that we have from that time, except we know that there were these four Malchiot, because that, you could be Medayik in the Pasuk, because it says in Nebuchadnezzar Malka, Shlach l'michnash l'achashdapnaya signaya pachavata adargazraya gidavraya ditavraya taftei v'chol shultanei medinita. So it says over there, okay, so Nebuchadnezzar wanted to gather, now it lists every different level of the different types of governors and aristocracy and, you know, what they call it those times, whatever. Who knows what, you know, the name would be today. But this is the Persian for these different levels of government officials. And they had to come to this amazing dedication of the grand golden Nebuchadnezzar statue. Okay, so they brought all these orchestras there, and they had all these different instruments. All of this is listed in the Pasuk. And at that moment, they were all supposed to bow down. At the moment that the orchestra opens with the trumpets, then everybody has to bow down. Fine. So Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah refused. And so there were people that came. And who were these people? Certain Itai Guvrin Yudain. There were these people that had come, and they said, there are these Jews around here who refuse to bow down. They don't worship your gods. They don't care about your beautiful statue. So then it says, Umiskanshin Achashtarpnaya Signaya Upachvata Vadovre Malka Chazayin Leguvraya Elech. Now, when afterwards Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah are walking around inside this incredible hot furnace, and they're sitting around watching TV in the middle of this furnace, and these guys, out of all of that long list, we have these four different levels that are listed, and they are Dafka, the Achashtapnaya, the Sagnaya, the Pachvata, and the Hadabre Malka. Those are like the close ministers. They were the ones that were chazin leguvraya ilech. They were the ones who saw that they were walking around in the flames. But you'll notice that the Adar Gazraya and the Gidavraya and the Disafraya and the Tiftaya, who were there before, have suddenly disappeared. Where did they disappear to? Well, they got burnt and are sitting in hell. And that means that four of those are merumas in the Pasuk, that they actually had been killed, and that was one of the nisim, that as they're trying to throw Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah into the Esh, it actually burns them up. Tana Devei Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, very important thing to learn here. Afilu b'sha'at ha-sakana, lo yishaneh adam et atzmo min harabanut shelo. A person who is faced with tremendous danger, and he's about to be killed, never change the way that you dress. You should always go to your grave, if necessary, looking like a million bucks. Don't allow people to think that they've crushed you. Because it says, Badayin guvraya ilech kefitu besarveleon and patshehon and karbalaton. So there it talks about these incredible people that are sitting there in the middle of this fire, but what they were all wrapped up in their beautiful long coats and their lovely pants and the different kinds of decorative robes that they wore. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, you should know, you see here one very important thing. Gedolim tzadikim yoter mimalachei asharet. Take a look at how we list the people that were in that furnace. Because at the time, three people were thrown in. And yet, when the people were seen in the furnace, walking around, watching TV and having a nice walk inside the lovely weather of this 5,000 degree heat, there were four people. And what Nebuchadnezzar is shocked at, and he says, Anev Amar, Nebuchadnezzar shouts, what? Ha'anachaza guvin arba'ah. I see four people, Shirayin. They are completely free. They're not tied up or anything. And they're ma'alkin bego nura. They're walking in the middle of the fire. V'chaval lo itaybon. And nothing is happening to them. And the fourth one looks like a supernatural being, an angel. Ravei deriviyad demal avar elayim. I mean, the order in which the Nebuchadnezzar sees these people, first there are three people. That's Hanani v'shov Azariah. Then we've got this little adjunct who's walking around with them. He's an angel. Okay. So in other words, the first three, those are the ones that make the biggest impact on him. The fourth one, yeah, there's some other angel guy came along. Walk out like that from the middle of this fire. All of the people in the world came and slapped the Seine Yisrael al Paneim. They attacked every Jew that they saw. Amar lam, you guys are such idiots. Yesh lechem Eloah kazev atem mishtachavim letzelem. Take a look at what you could have been. Take a look at what you could have done. Here's a couple of you guys act like real Jews and the rest of you act like real idiots. You should all drop dead. Okay. We will, Bezrat Hashem, continue tomorrow, even though we're still in the middle of the beautiful story here. And wishing you lots of besirot tovot, many, many more miracles than all these simple things of nuclear furnaces. And Bezrat Hashem, we should actually not deserve to be slapped across the face any longer. See you, Bezrat Hashem. Kol Tov.